It wasn't until I almost burnt out and had a nervous breakdown that I was able to then seek out help that was able to provide me with the guidance to get away from that mindset and enter something where it's 80%. If you can get 80% out of something, you should be happy with it.
Welcome to the Consistent and Predictable Income Community Podcast. The CPI methodology is the only system that teaches the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks.
Over the last 30 years, Van Sturgeon has created a number of successful companies in real estate. Since 1990, Van has renovated thousands of residential and commercial properties all across North America and has gained a wealth of lessons, strategies, and secrets that help investors successfully overcome their fears of rehabbing their properties and save thousands of dollars. In this podcast episode, Van shared his secret on how you can save 30% to 50% on a house renovation and save a considerable number of dollars.
My name is Dan Roshan. I'm the host of the CPI Podcast, which is a real estate show designed to help top producing agents leverage and scale your business, allowing you to earn more money in less time for seasoned agents to help you get to the next level of stable income, and for new agents to help you find the right way to freedom and money so that each of you can reach your potential as a person and as a real estate agent, which means you'll have certainty in your future. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy the show.
Hello, I am Dan Roshan from the Consistent Predictable Income Community. Today, I am privileged to be joined with Van Sturgeon. And Van and I are going to talk about how to plan and manage your own house rehab. And Van has just a ton of experience in doing renovations. He's done thousands of residential and commercial properties all across North America. And he's going to share with us his wisdom and what he's learned through the process. Welcome, Van.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I look forward to the interview. So let's jump right into it and get into the juicy stuff, because folks really want to learn how to plan and manage these things. You know, there are TV shows dedicated to people's failures with renovations and losing money, all that kind of stuff. So I want to eliminate as much of the fear that's possible out there and hopefully help some people.
Well, good for you. So thousands of renovations. Is that right?
Yes. Over the course of my over 30 years of being in the real estate industry, I know that I look like a youngish kind of guy, but I've been through the war. I got scars all over me from sleeping on job sites and cleaning toilets and stuff like that. But everything that walks and crawls in terms of real estate, I've been fortunate to do, and I've been pretty successful at it. So, yeah, like from apartments to single family homes, flips to I have over 1,000 units, a rental portfolio. Yes, during the course of that, I've got several companies that specialize in renovation, restoration work on commercial properties as well. So, I've done all of those things and during the course of my 30 years, you pick up on certain systems and strategies and tips and things of that sort. And I've sort of all, second nature to me when I walk into a property, whether it's commercial, residential, what I need to do. But I've discovered that there's a lot of apprehension out there with regards to, people buying a property and figuring out what they need to do and how to go about planning it and executing a successful renovation. And there's also a lot of information that real estate agents also need to know about how to handle, situations where there's properties that require work and how to, because a lot of you, in your position as a real estate agent, you need to be able to provide information and advice and wisdom. And so you need to sort of have that background to be able to help and assist your client in being able to determine whether whether it's a purchase is an actual wise one or not.
Well, I want to dive into that a little bit deeper. Before we do so, tell me, do you recall your first deal?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I I got my start in Chicago. I was born and raised over there, and I got out of university. My parents wanted me to become a lawyer, walk around with a three-piece suit and alligator shoes. And I kind of devastated them by saying, no, I wasn't interested in doing it. I wanted to get into general contracting. So I got started in the early 90s in Chicago, and I started to grow and develop this business. Doing a lot of work, I started bumping into the same kinds of people, those real estate investors that were acquiring properties and then flipping them or holding them onto them and creating a portfolio. And then I decided to give that a try. So my first deal, I remember, was $43,000. It was a home in Chicago. I have pictures of it, actually. It was just this really ugly runt of a property, all beat up. And I remember spending $17,000 in total renovations. This is back in the 90s now, not nowadays.
Yeah.
And then I turned it around and ended up selling it for $96,000. So all in all, I ended up making $30,000 approximately in profit. Yeah. And it was that whole experience over a course of 4 to 5 months was really exposed me to the opportunities of real estate. And so that's what sort of embarked me on this real estate investment kind of career, where in combination with growing, developing my general contracting businesses, I was a real estate investor. And then other things sprang from that, property management, and then subdivision home builder as well.
So I know you spend your time between Canada, Toronto, and Miami. Do you have businesses? Tell me about, what does your business look like today? Do you have a construction business, a general contractor business, an investment business, all of the above? Tell us about that.
Well, I've got several successful businesses, and I've got great people that are running them. I'm sort of semi-retired right now at this stage of my life. I fell into this. I never planned all this out. So I started my general contracting. It led to real estate investing. Then I created a portfolio of properties, 60, 70 single family homes. And I was hiring a property manager to look after them. And then I realized, well, why am I doing that? Why don't I do this myself? And so I created a company for that, which then led to being successful, because I would reach out to these real estate investors. I had already had an ongoing relationship with them with the general contracting side, that all of a sudden that they would give me that business as well. And so this is what sort of sprang forth over the course of 30 years. And I still have those businesses. I've got some really great people looking after them. And I sort of flutter in and flutter out every once in a while, make sure everything is okay. That's pretty much the short of it right now, what I'm doing in my life.
So how many businesses about?
There are six businesses that are running.
And is that six leaders, primary leaders, and then more leaders outside of that? Or how's that organized in regards to who are you communicating with to be able to have an understanding what's going on?
Well, in each of the businesses, I have a point man, or perhaps there's some of them actually have a partner. There's a percentage. And I like those types of situations where there's an ownership stake in those individuals that are running the show, because they got skin in the game to make sure that things are running smoothly, efficiently, and money's coming in on the bottom line. So those are the structures that I've created in those businesses. I'm more of a 30,000 kind of foot kind of level guy in terms of setting goals and making sure that that the systems systems are in place to be able to maximize or get to those goals. And again, I've been very fortunate that I've been able to find great people, and I treasure them, and I incentivize, I create win-win situations for those people to be able to function and do what they're really good at. I recognize that there are things that I'm really good at and some things that I'm not. So I identify people that sort of help me in my deficiencies.
What are you really good at and what are you not?
I'm really good at finding opportunities, and I'm really good at structuring things and identifying opportunities, the issues that I have because of my background. Where I come from is that I'm a micromanager. I'm a perfectionist. And oftentimes I have, in the beginning, when I started my general contracting business, I was so engulfed in trying to create that perfect product that I would push away people and have to do everything myself. And it got to the point where on my real estate investment, the investment side, the investor side, where I actually was renovating house flips, that I was actually sleeping on job sites because
I had to do it on my own. And it got to the point where I had this business, so this general contracting business that was booming, that was doing well. I was doing these flips and real estate mumbo jumbo stuff on the other side, burning the candle at both ends, where I had gotten married and I didn't even go on my honeymoon, sleeping at job sites. And it got to the point where I almost had a nervous breakdown.
Where you mean your wife didn't think that a construction site was a good honeymoon?
Is that what you're saying? No, unfortunately, I do. I didn't have her indoctrinated yet at that point. But then I got to the point where I hit a wall and I didn't know what the heck to do. Like, it was really a low point in my life. I saw this opportunity, but I just couldn't control it. And thankfully, what happened to me was I was again in that real estate investment kind of community. And there was one particular cat that was really successful, a real estate investor who had a beautiful portfolio of properties, had a vacation home. He was fit. He was 10. He had everything that I wanted. And so I reached out to him and I said, "Hey, this is my situation. Can you help me?" And he did. I paid him money. I hired him as a coach. Mm-hmm. And it was the first investment that I made in myself, that if I hadn't made that investment at that juncture, I don't know where I would be. Definitely would not be where I am today in terms of the successes I've been able to achieve. It was that individual that was able to put me on the right path and try to take me away from being in the business and working on the business. And it was from that foundation that I created that I continuously was able to expand and grow. And I spent thousands and thousands of dollars in books and courses and improvements and seminars and things. And I strongly encourage people that if they really, really want to transverse the journey and get to the short, the shortest distance, to avoid the pitfalls, the struggles associated with learning everything, whether it's any embark with any walk of life, that if you can find somebody that can coach you through, that's the way to go. It's money, the best money that you can spend, because it helps you navigate this. It gets you to the promised land. It's just like what I akin into, Dan, is if you want to pick up a musical instrument to learn how to play it, like a guitar, a piano, something like that, you can grab that damn thing and start jamming on it. You know, maybe in a couple of years, you might figure out a couple of chords or something like that. But really, if you want to learn how to, to properly hold a guitar and play a damn song, you should hire yourself a guitar instructor or a piano instructor. They sit right next by, or they sit right next to you, and they show you what you're doing. And if you make a mistake, they might smack you upside the head, and that's a good thing. But it'll get you from point A to point Z a lot quicker than trying to figure it out. And in real estate, as well as much, real estate, we're not dealing with a couple hundred dollars. We're dealing with thousands and thousands of dollars. And as many people that I have seen that have been successful, I've seen many, many who have failed. Because if they make a mistake when you purchase a property, you don't pay, you buy something that's got a lot of issues with it. Or if you're buying a property that is you overspent on and all that kind of stuff, or you hire contractors that really screw you, it can be devastating. It can be a devastating blow to your opportunities to become successful at it. So I strongly encourage people to, if you're going to be successful, to first, if you really want to do something and be good at it, you need to make an investment first in yourself, not on the property, but make an investment in yourself in terms of education and putting the time and effort and the money necessary to get you to the point where you can succeed.
You already know 87% of all real estate agents fail in this business. And you also know it doesn't have to be that way. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income, I invite for you to get your free copy of Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. And you can do so when you visit www.therealestateevolution.com. I'll share with you your book that I authored to show you the way, and it's free. You just have to pay for the shipping. Thanks.
So, Van, you mentioned that you have a habit or a skill of finding the right people and being in business with the right people. How do you do that?
I'm a people person, and I've been blessed with a great, I'm a great student of human psychology. And there's a series of things that I've learned over the years that I vet kind of people. I don't have it written in a system, but I kind of vet, and there's a feeling that I get during the process of engagement. I don't immediately trust everybody. I don't think anybody should. It's not like trust isn't like candy you give out on Halloween night. You got to earn it. So over a period of time, when you develop a relationship with somebody, there's a good old line. You're too young to remember. Ronald Reagan used to bring it out as trust but verify. So you might trust, but you got to verify every single step along the way. But once you get to the situation where you create a win-win situation, where that's really one of the things I encourage people is that you try to create a win-win situation where it's everybody's pushing in the same direction. And that way you don't have to, the accountability is produced by that individual because we're all going in the same direction. And that's why I like, as I mentioned earlier, I like relationships where everybody, you know, people have got skin in the game. Now, at the same time, I have 100% ownership of other companies. Why? Because I've got people there, very rare, but there are people there that are young, that they're aggressive, they're go-getters, but they just don't want the responsibility of being their own man. It's very difficult to find those types of individuals. Yeah. So as I scavenge and look at people, I found that the best path of least resistance to finding great people is actually partnering up and creating win-win situations where you give them a percentage of the action. And I have no problem with that.
So how do you plan to manage your own house rehab?
Well, there's a whole system. There's a whole series of steps that I have learned through over the course of 30 years that people need to abide by in order to be able to get to the point from A to Z, and they're actually accomplished a successful renovation. So one of the first things that I recommend to everybody, and that's really just in any kind of walk in life that you want to undertake, is really you got to sit down and figure out what your goals are. Like, what is the actual goal of that particular renovation? And so it's because every renovation is dictated by what that goal is going to be. Because if you're thinking of flipping a property, that's a different type of goal than if you're looking to go and rent out a property for $1,200 a month. So once you've established that goal and you've written it down, you've got it staring in front of you, the next step is to validate that goal. Oftentimes I find new real estate investors, just people in general, don't spend the time to really dig in to the minutiae and get as much information to what is happening in their marketplace so that they're in a much better position to determine what is it, whether this goal is realistic or not.
What type of information would you suggest to look for?
Well, if you're looking to rent a particular house for $1,200 a month or apartment or selling a property for $420,000, I think you need to go visit houses that are up for sale that are in that price range or in that area to determine what it is that they have in that home that you require in that property. If you're looking to rent it out for $1,200, what are the amenities that that house is offering? What are the finishes that that house is offering? So those are the things that you need to consider when you're looking at your property and the things that you're going to do to it in order to get to that point where you are comparable to that property that you're competing with, that is out there already. Oftentimes, these types of things are not being done adequately enough to be able to really dig into the minutiae to find out what it is that you need to do. And sometimes I find that many times that new real estate investors and sometimes with the help of agents, unfortunately, push renovations or rehabs to the point where they're over renovated, over rehabbed. Mm. You know, there's oftentimes I walk into properties that if I'm doing a flip and I still do anywhere between 100 to 300 transactions in a year. Now, of course, the times are more trying now than they were through, 2, 3, 5 years ago. But I often walk into homes and I don't necessarily run in and start replacing windows. Although, even though the house might be 40, 50 years old, I look at what is the marketplace telling me? And that's what's dictating me and what are the things that I need to do in that particular house. So after you've already validated that goal and you know what it is that you're looking to accomplish, you got to go out and create a needs and wants list. And what that list is that you actually take out 2 sheets of paper and you write down everything that needs to be happened to that property. So if there's a hole in the roof and rain, if the water's coming in, that's a need that you would put under. You would put that under the needs list. But windows does not necessarily mean that it goes under that needs list. Or if you're looking at replacing that shaggy red carpet in the family room that's 40 years old, but still functional, still, it's okay. It's not a trip hazard. Maybe that's really, you put that under the wants list. And because what you ultimately want to do is once you've created that list, you move to the next phase into determining what it is, how much money you have in the kitty. We would love to be able to solve all the problems under the moon, the stars, and the sky, but money dictates ultimately how much you're able to do. And so that's one of the things that where people need to sit down and figure out how much money they have on cash on hand, perhaps a line of credit that they can establish. And there's a lot of misinformation out there about that people need to really look into. And also there's opportunities with hard money lenders as well, where if you have a short duration of time where you're looking at acquiring a property and doing whatever you're doing and then selling it or refinancing it, where, you know, hard money lenders actually play an important role in that, because you only need X amount of dollars for a certain period of time before you raise the value of the property and you go get it refinanced.
What's the misinformation?
Well, there's a lot of opportunities in lines of credit, because there are A institution lenders out there, but there's also B, C, and D. And obviously the lower B's and the C's and D's, the further down you go, there are still lines of credit available, but the interest rates might be a little bit higher. But nevertheless, it's still worthwhile to go down that direction. But there's a bit of apprehension that people naturally go to these bigger the A institutions to go talk about their financial needs. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily, I got a great relationship with BC lenders, financial institutions, where, yeah, I might pay a little bit of a premium associated with interest rate, but the ease of access to money and how quickly they're able to facilitate a transaction is a lot better than going through these A financial institutions where you got to jump through a lot of hoops in order to get access to money.
Got it. So sometimes the ease of it allows for you to, it makes sense to say, oh, I'm going to pay a little bit more because I can buy back my time. And with the time that I buy back, then I can invest that into other projects or into my family or myself or whatever I choose to do.
Right. Because there's AA institutions that I don't want to name names, but they take their sweet time in putting things, getting responses back to you and moving on a particular deal. Yeah. And time is money. And so if I have to sit there and wait for this A institution to just make a decision, but yet I can go to a B or C lender and they can give it to me and I got to pay 3/4 of a point or a point and a half more, I'm okay with that, because I'm only looking at short durations of time, right, to get the money that I need in a line of credit, do what I have to do. And then, then you take the next step is then usually you refinance or you put the property up for sale.
Okay.
So it's all a numbers game at the end of the day, Dan. It's a numbers game. And one of the critical components, whether you are a real estate investor, real estate agent, in terms of you being able to provide a full product offering to clients, is that you need to have a good understanding of that renovation rehab side, because it is one of the pillars of the real estate. It is. Because ultimately, we're not buying beautiful properties. We're usually buying diamonds in a rough, ugly ducklings, where it's going to require some monies to be put in to reposition a property to be able to maximize the opportunity to be able to make money. Ultimately, that's if you're on the investment side, you're looking to make money. If you're looking at living in a home, that's a different animal.
Yeah.
That's a different animal. But I'm talking about as perspective as a real estate investor and perhaps as a business, like as a real estate agent who should have that skill set, should have that understanding of how to, walk into a property and get a good idea of what is required so that they can relay that information to clients who might not have a clue what is required in that property. And sometimes I think agents need to save people from certain properties because they just don't know what they're getting themselves involved in.
What? How do you find properties? How do you find that ugly duckling?
Depends on the type of property I'm looking at. Okay. So on a single family home, to be quite frank with you, on single family homes, I have such a great relationships in the areas that I have my portfolios in that I have created a power team of, I got great relationships with real estate agents, mortgage brokers, accountants, probate lawyers, wholesalers, bird dogs, you name it. I've been in these areas for a number of years. And so as a result, I look at my inbox every single day and there are opportunities there. Okay. So I don't rely on the MLS at all, to be quite frank with you, because of the opportunities are given to me. Now, that is on the single family side, on the small kind of, the multifamily small side. When we get into the larger stuff, the 80, 200 unit kind of multifamily portfolio or properties, that very rarely you come across something like that from a wholesaler. You're going to have to create relationships with real estate agents that are on the commercial side, of course. And those are relationships that are not easy to forge because often there's, especially now, there's a lot of people that have come out of the woodwork that want to get access to those listings, right? And thankfully, I've been doing this for such a long period of time that I don't need to chase after these guys. They know that I'm a serious individual. And I also don't jerk people around. That's one of the fortunate things that I feel sorry for real estate agents is that they will have a lot of individuals that will waste their time humming and hawing. And I don't like doing that. I'm very clear and upfront. If there's an opportunity presented to me on the commercial side, I immediately give an answer, yes or no, if I'm interested. If I am interested, let's write up something, let's secure it, and then we'll go ahead and do our due diligence. And also at the same time, I don't like to get properties where I string people along and then start giving haircuts. I don't like doing that either.
Yeah.
So when you created that type of reputation in a marketplace, then real estate agents want to do business with you. Like on the commercial side, they want to do business with you because there's a lot of riffraff around.
Recently wrote the book, Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. I wrote this book because I have sold real estate since 2007 and developed an immense amount of experience and knowledge. During my journey, I've witnessed hundreds and maybe even thousands of real estate agents fail in this business. And I firmly believe that that's a shame. In Real Estate Evolution, I will show you the exact steps that I have used as a real estate salesperson to sell 1 to 15 homes every single month for the past 129 consecutive months. It took me more than 2 decades to learn the sales and persuasion techniques and more than 1 decade to master the real estate sales techniques to be able to produce the content that makes up this book. It took me more than a year to write at a pace of 3 hours every single day. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income in your business, I invite you to get the book, Real Estate Evolution, and you can get that by visiting www.therealestateevolution.com, and I'll even give it to you for free as long as you pay for the post.
What about early on, or if you were new to the business today and you didn't have those relationships established, what would you do 2021? So you can't really compare it to early 1990s.
Sure.
2021, you're 18 years old, 20 years old, however old you are, right? And right. You're starting today. What do you do?
I would definitely begin by making that investment first in myself before I made an investment in anything else. So okay. What does that mean? I would get as much information as I can about the areas that I'm interested in. I would pore over them. I would study them. I would understand what it is, what's going on, identify areas that you can make sense of. There are two types of investors right now. There's the one that chases after a capital appreciation, appreciation of the properties, and are willing to get in a situation where there's, no cash flow or negative cash flow in some cases, or cash flow people. I'm a cash flow kind of guy. I like sleeping well at night knowing that come rain or sun or sleet or snow, that I'm going to get X amount of dollars on my investment of property. So you got to identify what you're comfortable with and find those areas that you're interested in diving in. And once you are able to, then you join your local meetup groups, you join your local REI groups, and ultimately you should need to make an investment in yourself, identify a coach, somebody that can take you through that whole process, because it's a lot easier to make that investment in an individual than learning the hard way through making mistakes. And in real estate, again, we're not talking about a couple hundred dollars that you screw up in. Oh, that's okay. We're talking about tens of thousands of dollars if you screw up. And I've seen people get devastated with one transaction where it devastated them and they weren't able to recover from it. So if I was 18, 19 years old, and a young whippersnapper wants to get in this racket, I would grab them by the shoulders and say, get as much, invest in yourself, join your community, go identify the areas, get yourself a coach. Once you've been able to establish that, which will take you 6 months to a year, then you are in a position to be able to make that next gigantic leap. And hopefully that coach will help you in that gigantic leap in that, because you got to be careful you got to study and analyze, but you also got to make that transition actual action. And there's a lot of analysis paralysis, they call.
Yeah.
And we're all victim of it because we're all in our little comfort zone. We don't want to step forward and get out of that. Yeah, and in order to be able to get out of that comfort zone, you got to actually take a step forward. And so with the guidance and tutelage of somebody who you can trust and a coach who's been there, done that, it's a lot easier to make that step. And so that's why I think it's really critical in if for any individual who wants to be successful in the endeavor, that is good to have mentorship coaching that's been right beside you. And if you really look at people who have been successful out there, usually that's what they can attribute their successes to is that mentorship, that coaching that they were able to find early on in their life.
What's a mistake that you made in the past, Van, that you would consider a significant mistake or a large learning opportunity, something you either learned a lot from or something that it was just like really detrimental to you? What comes to mind?
Well, I touched on it earlier in that I came from a background where I came from a family where we did everything ourselves and we kept everything internal. And the only person that could do something the best was only me, a micromanager. It had to be perfection. And it wasn't until I almost burnt out and had a nervous breakdown that I was able to then seek out help that was able to provide me with the guidance to get away from that mindset and enter something where it's 80%. If you could get 80% out of something, you should be happy with it, if that makes any sense.
What did you do differently? So you hired a coach, like you were in that place in your life, you hired a coach, and I think you said he was a man, right? So he advised you. What did you do differently? Like, do you recall, like, what was the one thing that you did differently than before?
Absolutely. And what ended up happening was that I started to disassociate myself of being actually in the business. And when I say actually being in the business, I was actually on the job site at 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And I would leave and come home at 8, 9 o'clock at night. And I would have to supervise and be, and in fact, to do some of the work. And I've got scars in my body from doing it. And it was until I was able to disassociate myself from that and accept that 80% of finding people, good people to do the work and just getting them to the point where it's good enough, 80%, which for everybody else is, perfect or great. But for me was not. I had to get over that. And it was very, very difficult. It was a very difficult mindset because I am to this day still a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. But it was very difficult I needed somebody to turn the mic, put that mirror in front of me and really expose my insecurities and be able to address them. And that's where I saw the growth. So it was literally identifying people and finding people in the right places, looking at the systems of how I was running my businesses and creating efficiencies. And again, everybody comes across this problem. If you're scaling, if you're moving up, you're going to get to the point where what made you great in the beginning in establishing a successful business, because it's not easy to create a successful business, but then you're going to eventually get to the point where you're going to hit a wall and you're going to need to make that next transition. And that making that next transition is incredibly difficult. And sometimes you need an outsider to walk in, see, diagnose the whole situation and sort of give you that push to be able to take you up to the next level, which means to disassociate yourself because I only have two hands. There's only 24 hours in a day. And so we are able to advance a couple extra hours in a day. You got to figure that portion out, but you got to get to that point.
So when you hit that ceiling, to be able to, you can either hit the ceiling and then maybe, struggle, hit the ceiling again, struggle, hit the ceiling again, maybe get frustrated and quit. Yep. Or you can hit the ceiling and then find coaches, mentors, systems, people, different ways of doing business than what got you there to be able to break through that ceiling. Do I understand you correctly?
Absolutely. Because, hey, Dan, there's a lot of places out there, like there's Toastmasters. There are organizations and places where like-minded individuals are there that have already gone through that process. And there's people that are part of these organizations and communities that are at that glass ceiling. That if you are part of that organization, birds of a feather, what's that saying that, you are the same, you are what the people that you hang around with.
Yeah.
You hang around with those types of people, those types of cats have been there, done that. Guess what? You're going to learn some things and they're going to give you the information and the knowledge and the wherewithal to be able to move past that. I've seen that happen to me countless times and others as well. So if we're talking about the real estate industry, there are definitely people that they can reach out to. Perhaps you're one of them, Dan, that individuals should reach out to because you could accomplish extraordinary things and are successful, that if they reach out to you, to be able to give you some guidance, that you can give them some guidance to, that you can get them over that, past that glass ceiling, and really make some inroads and make some real strides in progress and success.
I love this conversation, Van. If I'm somebody that say I am that investor, or I'm building a business, and you have so much wisdom to be able to share, how can I get in touch with you? What resources do you have available to somebody that wants to learn more?
I'm, as I mentioned earlier, I'm like in my semi-retirement stage, and I really enjoy these types of conversations and engaging people and helping people out. In particular, I help new real estate investors in figuring it out, like in terms of the planning and execution of a renovation, where they can, you know, eliminate a general contractor and actually do the renovation, the planning and the management of the renovation themselves, and save like 30 to 50% on the total project. And on top of that, they learn an actual skill set. So I have a website, www.vansturgeon.com. And it's my website that I've created, where I've got a number of podcasts that I've been on and that people can go out and listen to, as well as I've written a number of articles that have been published in a number of websites and publications out there, like LA Tribune and places like that. And there's also resources there that I encourage people to go on. Like one, for example, is my team and I took several months, but we created this renovation calculator that you can go on my website and download. It's a really spiffy, nifty tool where all you got to do is, you know, walk through a property, tick out the items that you want to do to the property, and it'll give you a budgetary number of what you should be expecting for the cost of the total renovation. And it's really a really great tool for those individuals that are not quite sure what the cost would be, and that could help real estate agents as well, anybody, where you can plug that in and it'll give you the actual dollar value, what the reno should approximately cost. So I encourage people to go on our website, and there's lots of information over there. And ultimately, if you really want to reach out and connect with me, you can do it through my website, as well as I'm out there on Facebook and Instagram, all that mumbo jumbo stuff. So if you Google my name, I'm sure you'll find me.
Mumbo jumbo stuff. Van, yes. Thank you so much for joining me today. And if you are a real estate agent, you want to learn more about how I can help you, I encourage for you to get the book Real Estate Evolution. And in this book, I show you exactly how I've earned more than $9.2 million in commissions over the last 15 years and how you can do the same. And you can visit www.therealestateevolution.com for less than 10 bucks. You can get the step-by-step guide. And if you're a real estate investor, visit www.vansturgeon.com for all the tools that Van shared with us. Van, thank you very much. God bless you. And I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much. God bless you too.
Thank you.
Hate the feeling of missing out and not knowing where to start? Aside from grabbing a copy of the Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, we also encourage you to join our ever-growing group, the Consistent and Predictable Income Community. Apply for a membership on Facebook and visit us at thecpicommunity.com online to listen to our previous superstar interviews.
Hey, I just had the best 45 minutes interviewing Dan Rochon. He's from Virginia, right outside the D.C. area. He's been in a stable market for a long time.
Within 18 months, he had created so much success where he was actually able to buy the brokerage as a real estate agent.
Dan is a leader of vision, focus, and passion. His enthusiasm is truly infectious.
He just came out with a book for real estate agents to kind of help people pivot. We went through and talked about how to succeed in adversity, some of his big traits out there.
If you're still listening, it is because you align with the CPI community. That means that you love to learn. You are ambitious, qualified, smart, and professional. Mostly, you understand that you're in charge to design your life. If you do not want to wait until next show is posted, I invite you right now to visit www.thecpicommunity.com, which is the official website of the CPI community. There, you'll have access to eavesdrop on past conversations I've had with the top salespeople, business owners, and entrepreneurs. The content is free, and there's no opt-in. If you really want to hit the ground running, I encourage you to apply on the homepage of thecpicommunity.com to become CPI certified. It is a compensated service, and those that have become certified have reported back that they have more than tripled their business sales and done so in 20% less time. The CPI certification is a part of the CPI curriculum, which is the blueprint where you will learn the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks. Lastly, I invite for you to share this podcast with others who are competitive, love to learn, assertive, relationship-based, self-starters just like you, so they can also benefit. And please leave us a rating or a review and subscribe now so that you'll be notified of the next show. Thank you again. I'll see you on the next show. To your success.
If you're a real estate agent and you're located outside of the Washington, D.C. area, and you have a client that wants to buy a home, sell a home, or invest in real estate in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., Maryland area, consider to refer to me. I promise that when you do so, we'll treat them like gold, update you throughout the process, and most importantly, we'll make you look good. And we'll pay you a nice referral fee. If you're a real estate agent in the Northern Virginia, Maryland, or Washington, D.C. area, and you're seeking certainty and predictability in your business, contact me now. I'd love to be able to set up a conversation to show you how we can help you to close transactions every single month of the year. Just imagine January, February, March, April, May, every month of the year that you have income coming into your pocket to help you and your family. Hit me up on social media or email me, Dan@greetingsvirginia.com. Love to set up a time to chat.